You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Gentle people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hope the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it ain't, it has to be done. It must be done. You will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we give you much love and support and respect. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, Time for an Awakening, and Black Talk Radio. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, just go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Another way that you can access these programs that are dated and titled, just go to whatever search engine you use, babaoshi.net, BABAOSHI.net. Once again, programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give out Eastern times. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, his wife, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and their daughter, Nataki Kamban, Black Therapy Central. After that, from 9 to 10, every first and third Mondays, is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, from 7 to 8 on Thursdays, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned business, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. The holiday season is coming up. Brothers and sisters, I think it would be great for us, great for you, and great for who we are as a people that you spend some money with us. I hear you. Okay. African for the Africans. We got Brother Bamani Tahimba today, so I'm not going to go too deep off into Africa for the Africans, but you know, if you listen to this program, I promote them heavily because what Brother Bamani is doing is giving our people an experience, the trip of a lifetime, as you like to call it, to the motherland. He's been doing it for years, and we'll talk more with Brother Bomani later as the program progresses. So, Africa for the Africans. Habashal. Habashal stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad, and they're doing the work. They have the Kashi Project that has been unveiled, and the beautiful chalets and other buildings in Ghana. But here at home, they got their mission, of course, is they're a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Africa for the Africans. No, Habashal. See, that's what you get for having something right in front of you like that. Habashalincorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE program. The great work that they're doing in Africa. They have 12 projects in six different countries, with 170 employed and over 260 members. They deal in the area of human existence that is vital to human existence, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, the LEDGE program, theledgegroup.org. Check them out. Abibiatumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com, and the Community University. Brothers and sisters, Abibiatumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation of African people and the modern land of Africa throughout the African world from under domination by Eurasians and their anti-African and anti-black collaborators. As such, Abibiatumi seeks to reclaim and recreate systems, tools, and design by African people for the benefit of African people in the interests and complete total liberation of African people. That's right, Abibiatumi.com. Smai Pharmacy, S-M-A-I. That's right, S-M-A-I. F-A-R-M-A-C-Y.com. SmaiPharmacy.com. He's put together some immunity packages that you can buy holiday season. Brothers and sisters, call Brother Jabril at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Smai Pharmacy. If you want to drop him an email, go to Smai Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy, @gmail.com. Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, providing clean water to those in Mississippi as we speak at this time. Providing, I'm going to give Brother Moses West or Brother Apollo a call and see if we can get an update on how things are going and what's happening. Once again, family, this is vitally important that we support the Moses West Foundation and particularly what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi. I know that we plan to have donations go directly to the Moses West Foundation for Africa, for African countries that are in dire need of water. Once again, brothers and sisters, water's all around us. There ain't no shortage of water. They found the way to take water moisture droplets out of the air, condense them, purify them, open a tap, out comes clean water. You don't need to go to a well that may be contaminated or a spring. It's in the air. And you have a filtering system that cleans the water out the air, that cleans the water moisture as it goes through the system. And you can get clean drinking water. Also, you can use water for hydroponics. You can grow food. That's right, grow food, water. You don't need, eroded land. We need to invest in this. We need not necessarily invest. We need to fund this. Moses West didn't take investment. He didn't want stockholders and stuff like that. He wanted people to donate and make this available for people who don't have. I agree with him that water should not be commodified. It not be something because if you have water, you pay me to get water. No. Water is essential. Water is essential for life. Yeah. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy with delicious, smooth fruit smoothies and pastries and health drinks. And they have a health store that where you can buy all kinds of supplements and so forth. Right there, Wadada's, located across the street from the Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open here in Atlanta on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so you can get your Kwanzaa kits and all kinds of good stuff from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They are open. And so give Wadada's a call at 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Black Dot Cultural Center and Boot Juice. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Exit 74, make a left, go straight, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. My good brother, Gazemdi Ajamu, is the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. When you go back to the interstate at I-20, just go the next exit east. So once you get to I-20, make a left. The next exit east is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right. Three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. The Medu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. I went to see Mama Nia and poured libation. And she had a number of people buying books and so forth. I bought some Kwanzaa cards. And yeah, 34 years in business. I know we're going to celebrate. Also, I have a date for the African Center program that I do. In February 23rd. So I'm looking forward to that, and more information will come out about that. But the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. If you're looking for a book, she probably will have it, believe me. But if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Thursday night broadcast, that's right, tomorrow night, at from 9 to 10, Us Lifting Us, on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. If you want to call to listen, or you have questions or comments or concerns, call them at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah got it going on, man. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right. It's small spaces stacked. It is definitely utilized, you know. But he's there in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue. Give him a call. He's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday, closed on Monday. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon. Sun got a sense. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, give Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Brothers and sisters, the work is being done with Sister Gabby at the helm in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, Sanjay-Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A, YITI.org, and you can see for yourself. They deserve to be supported. In fact, if we don't support them, who's going to support them? They don't get any money from the government in Haiti. So it's vitally important that we do. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Okay, what's going on here? Let me get to my screen. Yeah, there we go. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, once again, another one. If we don't support it, who's going to support it? They seek no funds outside to have this school that teaches and works and develops our warriors. They depend on the goodness of us as a people to do what is necessary. Give them a donation. Make a check of money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use PayPal, go to yahbaruti@yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-R-U-T-I, to make your donation. Also, too, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. And so go to akabinhouse.com. That's akabinhouse.com for the many books that Brother Baba Baruti writes. This Saturday, the 10th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., NEI, the community circle, is facilitating the topic, Celebrating Our Warrior Mothers. Celebrating Our Warrior Mothers. That's right. That's going to be this Saturday. It's $10 for adults and $5 for teens. Once again, if you use PayPal, the account is yahbaruti@yahoo. If you use Cash App, it is $YahMBaruti. And, of course, you include the Celebrating Our Warrior Mothers in your name and your email address so the link can be sent to you. That is this Saturday from 4 to 7. From 4 to 6 this Saturday. And Baba Baruti's program is going to be the 31st of December, that's a Saturday, from 4 to 7 at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Rights Fundamentals, the Fundamentals of Rights of Passage Program, Developing Effective Rights of Passage Programs. That's going to be Saturday the 31st, $10 per person. And same thing applies, I just mentioned. Put the information, Rights Fundamentals, your name, your email address, so they can send you the link. And it's $10 per person. Understanding that we need to develop effective rights of passage program. We need JEGNAs. We need brothers and sisters to be JEGNAs, not mentors. Okay, we know who mentor was. We ain't talking about no damn mentors. We're talking about JEGNAs. That's right, we need JEGNAs. Brothers and sisters who truly have the interests of the community at heart and want to do something fundamentally for it. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. December 6th. You know, I tell you, these folks, they owe us more than they could ever pay. They stole our language. They stole our culture. They stole our mothers and fathers and took our names from us. Queen Mother Moore. What would be the fair market value for others? 4,000 year assault to our spirits, mind, bodies, and land. You know? So we gotta understand that. We gotta understand what has happened to us. At what point will we grasp that reparations are due us from every people who worked to exploit and destroy us? The Arabs, our first and still captors, enslavers. The Chinese, who fueled this early Arab enterprise. The coloreds in every African nation who served the alien invaders and remained the dominant economic force. Those from the so-called Middle East and Asia today who are stealthily entered our communities and now use us as the European Jews did as doormats to rise in this anemic capitalist system. The European Jews themselves, dispossessed overseers of African, internally colonized here. And the European nations as a whole, which rose only because we fell subject to their deceit and inhumane violence. When we recognize these people are master liars, and therefore no apology should even begin to be considered, nothing short of a serious empowered threat will compel any of them to return what they continue to steal from us. More importantly for them, in a world where those who ask without power can be perpetually placated or ignored without reprisal, would they be left with anything if they return to us in today's currency what they unquestionably owe us? Affirm, I demand commensurate reparations. Confirm, I demand commensurate reparations. You know, remember we talked about reparations on the program last week, I think it was. Yeah, last week. Because there was issues of with ADOS and then questioning Umar Johnson, what he was saying about reparations, which I agree. I'm serious. You know, all these divisive groups and so forth just want some money. It ain't about money. It is about the repair of a people. It's about an institution building. It's about our future, education, educating our children in our image and in our interests. Yeah. December 7th. This is December 7th, of course. To Europeans, to Caucasians, particularly to America, it's the day that will live in infamy. It was the attack on Pearl Harbor, which over the years come to find out was a setup, just like a lot of false flags to get operations. Yeah. 9/11, well, you know how I feel about that. That is shown up a false flag inside job. The secret to life is to have no fear. Osagyefo, Kwame Nkrumah. It is our fear which lets the European corrupt our children's minds. Having created us in their minds, they know our fears and use them to focus us to relinquish our children unprotected to their insanity. And they know well, they know well how to corrupt them. They know that all it takes is one perverted image, one loaded word, one twisted thought to start the process. They know that if they can implement that image or word when the child is young enough, it will find fertile enough gray matter in which to take root. And while it may not immediately come to dominate his or her thought, it will hold its own until the mind is exposed to more corruptive thoughts as life goes on. It is like the cells of alcoholics who no longer drink. If they ever drank again, they more likely and easily return to the bottle because the earlier alcoholism was powerful enough to permanently mutate the structures of their cells, such as those cells would forever be more receptive to and greedily seek out the taste of alcohol in their blood. Only those retaining their sanity without fear can prevent this assault against the minds of our children. Only those retaining their sanity without fear can prevent this assault against the minds of our children. Nothing else can be reasonable or sufficient. I say, because I have my African sanity, I am without fear. Affirm, because I have my African sanity, I am without fear. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, fear. False evidence appearing real. My brother Kwaku. False evidence appearing real. Lies. Yep. Looking for my brother, Brother Bomani. He's supposed to be giving me a call soon, so, you know, we'll, if we have people in the queue. If you want to hit star twice,
hit star twice. That lets us know that you want to have conversation with us here at African Perspectives. Yeah, the election was won by Raphael Warnock last night. Yeah. For those, and I said I wouldn't be surprised if Herschel Walker won. Well, good morning. This is African.
Good morning, Oshia. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Greetings and good day. Greetings and good day.
Hey, I'm brother. Hey, Brother Bomani, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Just got back from my wonderful Tanzania roots and culture journey for a lifetime a week ago.
Yes, I know. In fact, Mama Nabantu is supposed to be joining us hopefully soon to talk about her experience. But, as I always promote Africa for the Africans and what you have done for literally hundreds of our brothers and sisters, exposes them to, as you like to say, a trip of a lifetime in the motherland, you know, and of course your upcoming trips that you have, Ghana in December.
Yes, we got a big group ready to go to Ghana, and I'm going to show our group members our land progress and do our usual journey around the country and support our 100% scheduled black-owned business on that itinerary.
Good.
So that's another important thing because, our business is to create opportunities for our own people.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the few issues I had with Tanzania. Very limited on black ownership, but Ghana we have a whole different program.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the biggest energy there in Tanzania was they have a lot of Indian-owned establishments. Much respect to them. For putting themselves together, organizing themselves, and doing what they need to do. Just would love to see more of our own people locally and also internationally do these things. Because I'm one of the people that, if you have a black-owned hotel and it's in a good situation with good energy, let's grow and build together. And that's how I build this wonderful energy that we have here in Ghana with our wonderful sister Imacus, and my good brother Shabazz, my two New Yorkers. That I appreciate what they've done in Ghana and want to always keep supporting them. We're coming up on our 22nd time, literally 22nd time that we've been to Buena Africa. From the first time going there and not knowing what I was really connected to just building that relationship.
Beautiful.
So these are the things that we do. And I want to just let people know just the difference between a Tanzania and a Ghana trip. Tanzania trip is very, phenomenal trip. You're there on Zanzibar Island, you're on the beaches, you get to see wildlife. And you get to see some of the incredible museums that they have that they literally have under renovation. So we're able, but at the same time, too, the renovation part, meaning that they're preparing for the future and they're preparing for better presentation and things like that. And it's a country where you're going to see more white people than anything else. Ghana is a complete opposite. And I try, I'm for what we're doing in Ghana, but just trying to expand our energy and connect people to let people know that West Africa is one part of Africa, but other parts of Africa are not as black and not as, focused on just us. Even though you see other nations of people there in West Africa, but East Africa, literally, as soon as you get on the plane, you can count the amount of black folks you're going to see. And usually that's our group.
Wow.
In Ghana, even though we're flying on, flying from Amsterdam on KLM, whether it's to Ghana or whether it's to Tanzania, the difference on that Ghana flight is you're going to see a whole lot of Ghanaian nationals and just black people from other places. Yeah, but that's one aspect of it. So I'm telling people when we do these journeys of a lifetime, they're not all the same. Like Ghana, we talk about business and investment. We have conferences. Tanzania is more of like a fact-finding energy. You're feeling your way around. You're learning the culture. You're learning the energy. You're building also great relationships with business owners and your tourism people there on the ground. It was my third journey, and we look forward to doing more and look forward to offer some more safari, deep in detail safari options and things like that. So
yeah,
it's one of my newest expansion, and just was happy just to have a wonderful group of people traveling with us. Each group is usually different. Sometimes we have a younger group, older group, and that determines the movements and things like that. So sometimes people see highlights with us doing certain things, and they see highlights doing something else, but it's all based on that. Like, example, nightlife. Like the first two times I went there, we did some good nightlife. This time, not so much nightlife.
You had an older group?
Yes. So you have to just make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mama Nabantu.
Hey.
How are you? I'm well. And you're
greetings, Nabantu. Greetings, how are you?
Greetings, Lamani. How are you?
Doing well. Just here, back in the action of business, getting ready for Ghana and getting ready for a whole bunch of other things.
I'm sure. You keep it busy. You keep us moving. And that's a good thing.
So what was your experience in Tanzania, Mama Nabantu?
I saw it as a learning experience in terms of learning more about the slave trade that went on in East Africa, which I didn't know very much about. And that, for me, was, you know, a high point in terms of what I learned and what I can come back and share of what happened to Zanzibar.
Was that slave trade more Arab than European?
It was, I guess, you know, Bamani can concur with me. It seemed to be a lot of Arabs, but there were other corners as well. The British, the French were involved. But the fact that Zanzibar and the slave market was very central to getting folks from there to places like Afghanistan, Iran, South America. I mean, they took our folks everywhere. Europe, from Zanzibar, and to actually get under the, well, there was a church they built over the slave, original slave market, and we saw where they had an area where people were beaten. I think it was 10 times to see whether they were strong enough to go to the auction. If they cried, they stayed. If they didn't cry, they would send them to prepare them for an auction to go to various countries around Zanzibar, Uganda. I can't think of all the names of the countries that they were sent to. But I was unaware of the large marketplace that they had there and the results of it. So
yeah, because you often hear about the West African involved in the captivity and capture of our people and then sending them off to, you know, South America, Central America, and of course the Caribbean, and then of course from that point on to the United States. You know, the inhumanity to us knows no bounds, and it's just like you were surprised to hear about Tanzania's involvement. And of course, there's some involvement in Kenya as well, some East Africans. And I kind of assume that most of the people involved in that situation are Arabs and others. So, Brother Bamani told us there's not a lot of businesses owned by Africans, owned by Tanzanians. A lot of the businesses were owned by Indians.
Indians, and you have a lot of you have other businesses that are owned by Tanzanian, but maybe they're bringing like a management group by Indians.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that they literally organize themselves. I mean, we can even go back with the conflict of Idi Amin, or even beyond that, when the British brought a load of this people from India and China, but they really infused themselves into the country to where. Different, and I've not been there long enough to really just analyze how the relationship really is, but you know, it's something that has to grow on me a little bit more, because I'm so used to just being in all of these countries in West Africa, you know, Senegal, like Gambia, Togo, Benin, Ghana, and then I go somewhere and I don't see the 95% of black people that I'm traditionally used to seeing in West Africa. And I don't see the same level of ownership. Because one thing I love about Ghana is that you have a lot more black ownership as far as hotels and things like that.
Right.
In Tanzania, a lot of times it's mixed. So I've not been able to deliver my true 100% black schedule that I like to do, you know, to support every restaurant you go to, every hotel. So it's not been that experience. So, you know, and you know, you work it as best as you can work.
Sure. Sure. Did you stay at African establishment or East Indian establishment?
In Arusha and Zanzibar. The one in Zanzibar is actually owned by a Tanzanian man, but you have these relationship where the person may be a Tanzanian man, but he may be, a Tanzanian African man, but maybe one of his parents is Indian. So you have that kind of relationship, and then next thing you know, it's more infused by, you know, Indian management and how they run the establishment. So you're going to feel that immediately. Mm. So you're very limited on that traditional black ownership that we talk about. You know, when we say One Africa, you know, you're talking about Shabazz and Imakas.
Right.
From, born New Yorkers and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's an adjustment that we have to make. And when I talk about when you're going on the flight, you see more white people because they're coming there to go to all of the incredible parks. Serengeti National Park, which is one of the more famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
And even in small little Arusha National Park, we're the only group of black people there. I looked at every vehicle that was driving, and the driver was a black person, and then you know everybody else was just white tourism from other places.
Mm.
So trying to open Tanzania up to get more of us from the African diaspora to visit, connect, get into some of these safari business. We have partners there. They're into safari, into different things. I try to do a lot of networking and try to work with them to get them connected, because when I first met them, most of the groups that they say they dealt with were predominantly just white groups and maybe some mix. But people are always shocked when they see people like myself come through, because it's just Bomani and a whole group of brothers and sisters. And that's why we specialize in that, because that's the market that's not tapped into.
Yeah.
And the more we can do these things, the more we can open up our people, say, you know what, maybe I can go to Tanzania and open my mind to business and investment. Even though we haven't started pushing business and investment conference, but just visiting and just... As you move around, because you're moving around, you're in Arusha, you're in Zanzibar Island, and you're also in Dar es Salaam. So your eyes are going to open up. And then, you know, it just takes the right set of people to say, you know what, especially when you have a group of people, you know, you may have two or three people that they just met each other, but they connect together. Next thing you know, they want to do wonderful things. So that's a part of the journey for a lifetime, just exposing and opening up different countries and using the elements of what we built in Ghana, which I still feel like is very incredible. To be able to, you know, to create itineraries that normally was not 100% black itineraries, because our focus was always on like 5-star hotels, and I get that, and all these things, and I get that 100%. But not all of us as business people can take that stance the way we do that.
Sure.
And I'm always upfront with people when I put 2- and 3-star hotels or 3- or 4-star hotels and provide links and things like that, because somehow what will happen is, and I know, you know, I prefer my luxury, you know, I prefer a nice Marriott resort, absolutely. And we do those on some schedules. But when you can actually create something black-owned, and that's what we're going to figure out in Tanzania eventually.
Yeah.
And it's just a feel for, but at the same time, too, you're sharing with your group something different. Like, okay, this is not the black Africa that, you know, we always picture in our mind. This is an African country where you see... You know, I was walking around this, we had a day off, and I was driving home without my host. And, you know, you saw a reflection of every other aspects of people there, whether it's the Japanese, the Chinese, and, you know, Indians are going to be more predominant ones who have been there longer. And it was just fascinating, like, wow, a lot of these things I saw, I was like, my brothers and sisters in America can take advantage of these opportunities, but then some of them may not know about it like that, and some of them may not feel comfortable, like Tanzania, that's all the way in the other part of the world. So trying to expose that a little bit more. And I'm hoping that when we're taking people around, they see these things, because we're on a ferry boat, then you look around and you like, everywhere white folks. It's like, it's a hidden secret.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the most incredible African countries. But
just
a lot of us don't know about it because we don't do tourism like that. Most of us have moved to somewhere like Tanzania, and we just get a house in Dar es Salaam and we chill and enjoy it.
I know some people that have done that from here. I remember about when I first came here, brother and his wife moved to Tanzania. And I think
Dito Neal and Shadow Neal was a great place for me to go. Our group didn't go, but I had the opportunity to go to their compound. They had amazing things going on where they have a school, they have children that they accommodate on their compound.
Beautiful.
And lots of cultural things were going on with Charlotte O'Neill and Peter O'Neill. So I got a lot of photos from there.
Oh, then I need that because I want to go to Tanzania. I really do. I'd like to go with Brother Bomani to Tanzania. Mm-hmm. The problem that happened to me prior to that was, I had a health challenge, particularly respiration. I know Tanzania is more elevated because of Kilimanjaro. And I was just concerned at the time about that, but I'm fine. I'm great. I'm good. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. You know, also too, did you, Brother Bomani, make any contact with, Jackie Robinson's son, who has a coffee. Yeah. Did you make
No, any... unfortunately, in our schedule in Arusha, even though we have a few days, it's just very limited. Once we go to the national park, we have like 2 days.
Okay.
So there's more places I would like to visit. This time we did visit a few new places. But even a small town like Arusha is just packed with a lot of things you can really do.
Yeah, I'm and, looking forward to that going to
so
Arusha.
So what I always recommend for the ultimate experience, just to stay back even longer.
Yeah.
Stay back even longer and enjoy some of the additional things. But from Jackie Robinson to the other compound, those are things just trying to work it into the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're working things in the schedule, you also have to remove something else.
Right.
So that's
right, because the time is limited. That's understandable. Yeah.
Then Sister Evelyn, remember?
Yeah.
Evelyn?
Oh, yeah, Evelyn, the dude, Yami.
They came to visit me at the hotel. We had a good conversation.
Yes.
What was going on.
Yeah,
and
she
they
looks.
Have a business,
they look they great. They look great.
They're doing quite well with their school.
Mm-hmm.
And another brother who has a resort that I know I couldn't get to because they were so far away from where we were. In,
okay.
Not Darcy, but the city.
Yeah, I was going to say, is his resort close to Darul Islam?
It was in Zanzibar.
Oh, Zanzibar, okay.
On the island.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to maintain contact with him.
Okay.
He's had a resort there for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So he's from out of Oakland.
Yeah.
So, and then I went to a black bookstore that was owned by Tanzania downtown in Arusha. Mm-hmm. And I was also inspired by the roadway where the people were drawing beautiful flowers on the highways. And it seemed to me, those Tanzanians, they worked those beautiful flowers and they owned certain parts of it. So they people wouldn't take them overnight. They could always come back the next day and continue. But, you know, I thought that was a good way to decorate the highway with these beautiful flowers along the way.
Nice. Yeah, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking, you know, all this beautiful land and scenic land, and you know, I mean, all of this is ours, but yet we're not taking advantage of it because we don't have any consciousness and understanding of how important Africa is, you know, to the world, and yet the world wants to exploit and eliminate African people. And we have Asians, we have Indians, we have Arabs, we have the Europeans. Everybody wants a part of Africa, as Dr. Clark said, you know, and don't want to pay for. They don't want to pay fair market value price because we don't control it. In fact, the last few times I've played this piece by this Caucasian named Howard Nichols. In fact, for the listeners and yourselves, go to YouTube. go to YouTube and put in Howard Nichols, where this Caucasian's talking about, we must keep Africa poor. We must keep Africa from not manufacturing anything, not developing anything. We must keep Africa poor so we can take advantage of Africa and its resources and its land. And also, too, to begin to get rid of Africans. Get rid of Africans. Just like the Chinese. I don't know, Brother Bomani, I remember reading this many years ago, but the Chinese, they want to put 300 million of their people in Africa. 300 million. Well, you have a billion people. You have a billion people in China. So, you know, it's a third of their population they want to put into Africa. And then many of our...
Go ahead. No, I was saying from their point of view and perspective, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, you're talking about a small country, China, that's overpopulated and literally just it's only so much part of China people that's livable.
Right.
And they have a great foundation opportunity in Africa. They can do all the building. They can do all the manufacturing. They can build all the industries. And they can live well for themselves in a great continent with this great weather, great landscape. It's a great expansion of what they want to do. So I'm telling our people here in the African diaspora that everyone is seeing the value of our continent, and it's either we can make connections to get there, whether we're traveling there on business, traveling there on tourism, with some level of connection to where it gets you there, to where it open your mind into a competitive situation, to where you realize, hey, let's do some corporate economics.
Right.
And I'm not telling everyone to do what we're doing in Ghana, just putting our money together and doing our own land real estate development. But you have to do some level of that in order for you to put yourself in a position to compete, because they're not going to stop bringing their people into the countries. And I mean, when they bring in industries, they're going to have to bring some level of their people. And then once those people get there, I don't see them leaving. I mean, they're going to see a better life for themselves. Just like how I talk about how the Indians dominate all of East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in a bad way. Like, they're very nice and respectful based on what I see. I mean, someone local may say something else. But, you know, when you're doing business with people and it's a money business, you know, they're smiling in your face.
Exactly.
And
they got to be accommodating. Right. Yeah, they got to be accommodating.
So, yeah. My judgment on the people is very, very difficult. But I just want to see more of our people from Africa now to see these opportunities.
Yeah.
And even beyond this, traveling with us or doing anything with us specifically. It's a global world of opportunity that if we don't jump on, China and other nations are going to be doing that. Next thing you know, you're going to have about 25% Africans living on the continent. I mean, think about North Africa. Like, you always have these debate with people like, oh, Morocco is not a part of Africa, Egypt, Tunisia, and things that,
right.
They're like, well, it's not the traditional Africa. And you have these little silly conversations. And then in the southern part of Africa, people tell you something else. But it's like those dynamics, what you see can go beyond that. And then we talk about, Indians in East Africa and Southern Africa, and their population is just going to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And they're the dominant force. So who knows what's going to happen in the next 10, 20 years. But I tell people what's going to happen. We're going to be outdone in all aspects of things. So people like myself, you're just doing the best we can do to get people introduced to Africa and try to work with other groups of people to help to organize some way of whether it's an investment group or something. I tell them more of us got to get into this and give it a fighting chance. Other than that, we're just going to be here in America and watching, our greatest opportunity be taken over by other nations of people that want it more.
That's right. Sad, but true.
Like the Lebanon is a failed nation, but the Lebanese are very successful in East and West Africa. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
They're very much in West Africa too, the Lebanese. I remember them in 1959. I couldn't understand where all these Lebanese people were from.
Mm-hmm.
How they own all the markets and the manufacturing companies. So they're there too. And when I went to Nigeria, speaking of white folks, Eastern Nigeria, there were so many white folks on those going there and Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Was very few black people.
Right.
Going to East Africa as well. But I did meet, Bomani recalls, the sister that spoke to us from
She was involved with UNIA there, connected with Philadelphia.
An excellent UNIA.
What was that?
No, you said UNIA, right?
Yeah.
Right. And they have a project where they're trying to take over 300 acres and build a community with the support of UNIA here in the state. So I'm trying to connect with that too. It'll be folks here in Atlanta. Because I know Philadelphia, I think, is the headquarters of UNIA. I think that all the other chapters should know about this project that's going on in Tanzania.
And that's happening in Tanzania too.
That's what I'm talking about, right here. That's where we have to get to. I mean, land is the base of independence. Get land in all different countries, and it's enough of us going to different countries to where. Not saying everybody needs to just jump on this one program, but it's like more and more of us got to do these cooperative programs. That way, because so much of us are going there, and a lot of times people run into issues and run into problems, and sometimes you just need a support from a brother or sister. But if you're Tanzanian, you have your people. If you're Nigerian, you have your people there. But if you're from the African diaspora, you usually for the most part, you may have to just run to the American embassy, because that's the only place to run to. But if we build these communities, we can have foundations to where we can literally just enterprise more. And
that's what we need to do.
Tourism is. It could be, more coming from us than those other folks. And I can see that. Yeah.
Well, see, my contention is, I know a lot of our people go to Africa in the mindset of tourism, but we need to think about Africa as going home and building up Africa and the resources that are there, that we can take advantage of, as opposed to those who are outside of being Africa have constantly taken advantage of. It's interesting that Africa has been exploited for hundreds of years, and yet it still has more resources than anywhere else, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, there's another video that I got yesterday. I'll share it with you.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah. How white folks are saying we've got to keep Africans in poverty.
Yeah, yeah. That's Howard Nichols. That's Howard Nichols. Right. He's speaking to whoever,
The worst thing that could happen to Europe and all those other countries for Africa to rise.
So
we can't let that happen.
See?
It's an interesting video.
Oh, yeah. Very, very. I'll be playing that video consistently over my long as I'm broadcasting to make sure we understand what these Caucasians want to do. And if that's what they want to do, what are we going to do? We need to, be a part of the Pan-African Federalist Movement to control one Africa.
Well, that's the plan.
Yes. Yeah. It's the ultimate plan. I mean, what is the ultimate objective? What is the end game? The end game is what Brother Bomani has been working for and doing for years, getting our people to understand we need to go back home to build Africa.
Right.
Yes, it's beautiful for tourism, but damn it, I ain't a tourist. I'm somebody who wants to come there to look at the dynamics and see how we can best make it happen for us as Africans on a continent and Africans in the diaspora to live, that we have a home. That we know we have a home, because everywhere around the damn world where we are, we dogged out. We're disrespected. Because why? We don't have a home. That we truly recognize, that we want to recognize. We've been made to feel ashamed of Africa and Africans. We see the impoverishment. We see all these other things. We see the family. We see all these things. But yet, it doesn't have to be that. And we need to look beyond that and look towards the future for African people. And if we allow the Indians and the Chinese and the Arabs and the Europeans, we won't have a future.
I know. And the sad thing is that, talking to some of the tour guides, they were saying that their allies that they now, you know, their friends, you know, they can work with them because of the reconciliation of what is, where they have come to, what is it? They don't want them to feel guilty. They want to feel that we forgive. I think that's what I'm hearing, that we forgive them.
So you're saying we want them to come in and invest in us, and we don't want them to feel guilty about all the past exploits, the things they've done, the enslavement, the, you know. So we want bygones to be bygones. Go ahead, Brother Bond.
Yeah, I think that's what most of us got. And it was a very interesting conversation that day when we're going to the Anglican church that has the connection with the Arab slave trade there in Zanzibar. And a few of our members, I'd have to go back and watch the video. It's going to be an interesting video to look at because the tour guide is explaining something and he's very calm. And it sounds like let's forgive and forget and live in solidarity and move forward. So some people had strong opinions on that. I was just recording because I like to hear everybody's opinion on how the situation is. And so I'm with Mama Nobantu. It's what she just explained. That's the energy that we kind of got. So I don't know how other people feel about it. But when you go to the country, you see people working together. And it's like, not saying that they don't have any issues with Arabs or other people, but it seems like they're more so open to getting along and working it out. And it's a part of their culture and history. And I guess even the language probably have some level of infuse of Arabic in it.
Now the language most predominantly spoken in Tanzania is English, correct?
Swahili. It's always interesting because since it was a former German colony, then a former British colony,
right?
It eventually started pushing.
That's what I meant, that because it was British.
So if you go to the ATM machine, you're going to have option of English and Swahili.
Okay.
So you're going to see things mainly in English, but everyone that's going to come up to you is not going to speak English to you. Most people are going to speak Swahili to you. Like, literally, like, that happened to me 9 out of 10 times.
Okay.
Right.
Because they really have a pride in pushing their own language.
That's so great.
These are things that I thought that was very impressive.
Yes.
Like when you go to Ghana, you know, you go to ATM machine, it's just English. You're not going to see it in the different language. But Tanzania, literally, English, Swahili. And you see, when you go to the museum, you also see in two, at least minimum English and Swahili. There may be another language on there because I've seen things where it shows three different languages in the different museums. Mm-hmm. So that's always an interesting thing as far as just going around different parts of Africa. That's why it's so incredible just to experience different parts of Africa, east, west, south, north, and you see that we're not working together to get anything done. Every country is on their own, and
exactly.
They may do business with another country.
And see,
every country pushes their own agenda and energy. East Africa may be more organized because, you know, you have Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania. You know, they have that Swahili culture.
And that's a good thing. That's why I believe that really Kiswahili should be the language that we all try to gravitate to, because there's hundreds and hundreds of languages spoken throughout the continent of Africa, and we need to be able to speak to each other in some cultural privacy, that where the European and the Arabs, the Chinese, that they can speak their languages, and we're outside of that, and we need to do that ourselves so we know what we're talking about and how we can work together. And the fact that Kiswahili is spoken throughout East Africa, and more predominantly, as you just stated, that needs to happen in Central Africa, needs to happen in West Africa. You know, we need to have a language that we can speak. As a fact, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, when they developed their book about 20, 30 years ago called The Preliminary Challenge, haven't too much done anything with that since. But there was a chapter in there that says, can you liberate yourself in somebody else's language? You know?
That's a great question.
It's a great
that
question.
I would say that you're very limited.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. We come back from the break. We'll talk more about the Pan-African travels or the Africa for the Africans and all the things that are upcoming trips and so forth, how people can take advantage of that. I mean, Brother Bamani, you've been tremendous, brother. Believe me, you have. Since 2006, correct?
Yes, 2006. Doing these journeys professionally in this.
Yeah.
And you go from not knowing much about anything, and then you just work your way up, and you go through the trials, the tribulation, and the progress, and you just keep building, and you just create something to where, you know, you turn around, next thing you know, you have a whole empire. That's what we're building that community in Ghana for, so we can run all tourism, business, technology, and other operations right there. That way you have energy and young minds of people that you can just put in positions to work with you. Because all this stuff is a lot of work, and you would have a younger generation would benefit from the things that they would be able to learn and eventually manage these operations. Because we're building all these businesses for our future generation, our children, our people in general. Because everybody always tell me that we have the youngest population,
right?
And even in the town that we're in, people tell me, oh, it's about 80% children. I was like, you know, and everybody's all excited. I was like, don't be too excited. We still gotta get the job done. We gotta create the enterprises so they can evolve it.
Right.
And the better we can create on the African continent, the better we can have control over how we do certain things. Creating our own unique curriculums where our children is in trade school when they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they're young adults, they join the enterprise. You know, you have your own, all the things you need. So I'm with, you know, the energy of Marcus Garvey, and I'm with the energy of our ancestors.
I say.
That what we're looking to do is just building on to another level and just gain momentum and also get more people to reach out, because we always tell people, hey, you know, we need more support, we need more help. This is us trying to build a foundation, but we can only do so much and so good unless we have other people organized with us. And that's why I'm calling for more of us to just connect together and do more cooperative economic business, because I've seen what we could have accomplished in a country like Ghana, but we didn't, because it was too many just individuals and too many different programs that just didn't align with how we can make it work together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that we can change the mindset of a new set of people who are getting involved in these businesses. And I'm always trying to be an inspiration, trying to work with other people that are coming up. And I've been, working with many fresh energy of people coming out lately.
Yeah.
But I know you have to take a break, so let me hold that thought.
Helping us understand how important our unity is. For our very survival, within unity, there is strength. We keep staying fragmented. We keep staying individualistic. You know, surely we will perish. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, more discussion with Brother Bamani and Mama Nabantu with Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and see for yourself. Look at the lineup. Look at the things. Everything on that website is all you need there. If you go to Africa for the Africans on Facebook, you'll see great pictures. If you go to Africa for the Africans on YouTube, you'll see good videos of what this brother has done. It's well documented. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk. RadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
During the mid-1950s, I believe it was 1955, I was looking at a late American television show, which was known as The Tonight Show, and Steve Allen was the host, and Steve Allen was a very, very musical man. He had a guest one night, and it was Ray Charles. For the first time in my life, I saw and I heard the electric piano. It was similar to this, only it was the original model. It was a different color. It was a better quality. This was the one when the corporations bought the company. I have one. Late 1950s, I heard Ray Charles on the radio playing the electric piano. And what I heard was... I said, I got to get one of them. It was in 1963 when I finally had the money to buy a Wurlitzer electric piano. And I still play the Wurlitzer electric piano today. I play them so much, the youngsters call me, Joe, you're old school. Yes, I am old school, and that's okay. I have a Rhodes piano. I did most of the recordings of the Crusaders records beginning in 1970 on the Rhodes piano, and we would like to play now a composition that Wilton Felder wrote in 68. It is titled Way Back Home. We also called it the anthem. A lot of political groups have used this particular composition as their theme song, as their anthem. So we now call it the anthem. We would now like to play for you Way Back Home.
Okay, there's this or this.
Melt into your holiday moments with Lindor from the Lindt Master Chocolatier.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was the Crusaders, Way Back Home. I played that because that's where we need to go. Not Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama. I'm talking about Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, Congo, Tanzania, Kenya, whatever. Way back home. Azania, Way Back Home. Of course, that was Joe Sample on piano, Wilton Felder on tenor sax, and Styx Hooper on drums, and of course, Wayne Henderson on trombone, Hubert Laws on flute. That's right. The Jazz Crusaders, and many other people that played with them over time. And, great musicians. The Jazz Crusaders, Way Back Home. That's where we need to go. What was said earlier about our children, and I read that today on the NEA station. I'm going to read it again just for emphasis. Just for emphasis. This is what Kwame Nkrumah. I'm going to get to you, Brother Marcus. I'm glad that you called after this. And it's for this day, December 7th. The secret to life is to have no fear. The secret to life is to have no fear. Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah, the first president of Ghana, independent Ghana. It is our fear which lets the European corrupt our children's minds. Having created us in their minds, they know our fears and use them to force us to relinquish our children unprotected to their insanity. And they know well how to corrupt them. They know that all it takes is one perverted image, one loaded word, one twisted thought to start the process. They know that if they can implant that image or word when the child is young enough, it will find fertile enough gray matter in which to take root. And while it may not immediately come to dominate his or her thought, it will hold its own until the mind is exposed to more corruptive thoughts as life goes on. It is like the cells of alcoholics, who no longer drink. If they ever drink again, they more easily return to the bottle because the earlier alcoholism was powerful enough to permanently mutate the structure of the cells, such as these cells would forever be more receptive to the greedy seeking out the taste of alcohol in their blood. Only those retaining their sanity without fear can prevent this assault against the minds of our children. Nothing else will be reasonable or sufficient. The Inye Sasim family, because I have my African sanity, I am without fear. I am without fear. The Inye Sasim. We're speaking with Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans and Sister and Mama Nabantu, who was with the Pan-African
Forum. Yes, brother.
Let's go ahead, Brother Bomani.
Yes. I thought you had a question for me.
I'm gonna open the phone lines. I'm gonna get this call right here, Brother Marcus. 602. Good afternoon, Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshi. Good afternoon, and good afternoon, Brother Bomani, and good afternoon to Sister Nabantu on the line. always a pleasure hearing Brother Bomani, because Brother Bomani making strides.
Yes, he is.
I want to commend the Ghanaian government for, I see they are getting ready to establish a LBME gold refinery in Ghana. Now, that is a big game changer right there, you know. That move right there, if they succeed in getting that gold refinery established in Ghana, the Ghanaians don't have to sell a gram of gold anymore. They don't have to sell. I would advise the gold miner there in Ghana, if they get that established, do not sell 1 gram of gold anymore to anybody, but use it as a leverage. See, because what they can do is, and we here in the West too should joint venture with our brothers and sisters here in Ghana who have those gold mines, because let me show you the move what's going to happen. You see, if they get that LBME, let's just mean London Bullion Market Association established in Ghana, they can bring their gold to that refinery, right? The refinery will refine it down to bullion, right? Because it's a LBMA, it's on the stock market. All they have to do is say, here or now, I ain't gonna sell it. I'm gonna use it as a leverage. I'm gonna use it as a carrot and a stick. You see? So once they refine it at that refinery, they can know the refinery will issue them documentation to prove that, look, we have this gold here sitting here for, all right, say Brother Bomani. Okay, we have this asset here sitting. So Brother Bomani now take that piece of paper to a commercial bank. I say, hey, I want to borrow some money against this product right here. You see? I want to borrow some money against my product. That's the game changer right there. So you don't have to sell anything anymore. You just use it as a carrot and a stick, you see, to attract money. Borrow the money, pay, use what you pay it back. See, but use the goal as the leverage. So again, I say, I want to commend the Ghanaian government. If they get this thing achieved, passed, man, that is a big game changer for Ghana and for all the gold producing countries in West Africa, like Mali.
Yeah.
Mali has a lot of gold sitting in there too, you know. In fact, they said Mali is the third behind South Africa and Ghana. Mali have so much gold sitting. Remember, that's where Mansa Musa came from, right? Mali, right?
Right.
A lot of wealth there in Mali. Mm-hmm. So, and it's right there next to Ghana. So they can bring their product to Ghana and do the same thing. Hey, I want to do the same. Don't sell nothing more to these people.
Just well, you know, use it. You know that that's what Muammar Gaddafi was trying to do with the gold dinar as a currency to be used by African countries as opposed to the petrodollars. And, of course, we know what happened to Muammar Gaddafi. He was murdered by the West. That's why I can't stand Barack Obama today. He was murdered by the West. He was this currency would have helped Africa tremendously because of the products that they have, and you had to buy African products, whether it's gold, whether it's diamonds, whether it's oil, whatever it is, using that particular currency, it would have been the freedom for Africa, you know.
Yes. So, and another thing before I get off, Muammar Gaddafi too was a forward-thinking Arab. You see,
yeah.
Because he said he you know what he said. He said, you know what? Eventually, you know, these Africans are gonna get the act together.
Yeah,
because you only have 350 million Arabs, you know, only 350 million. So he knew. So look, in time, you know, these Africans gonna get their act together. So it behooves us to help them get their act together. Because if we don't help them get their act together and they get their act together independent of us, you know what's gonna happen. See, but again, they eliminated him, you know, but. They can try and try and try, but look, they can't stop this year. They can't stop this. The ball is rolling. It's rolling. So, hey, no.
Keep
you know,
that ball rolling.
You know,
that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway,
thank
keep
you.
On, keep it on. Thank you so much, brother Bomani, and keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate the energy.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Yeah, Brother Bomani, you know, for what you are doing. You know, what you are doing, brother, is the spark. You are introducing us. You are helping us understand. And what Sister Mama Nabantu is doing, of course, is providing a vehicle for us to get into to make that spark really happen and really work for us. There's no doubt about it. Wherever how nice the Indians are, wherever how nice the Chinese are, wherever how nice any damn body is, that is still Africa and that is still ours. And I'm not to say that we should take anything from anybody, but whoever should be selling, whoever should be doing, it should be us. That's like, because what you said really hit home to me about East Africa as opposed to West Africa, where at least in West Africa, we are trying to maintain and control over what we have. In East Africa, you know, some of us are very, you know, docile, placating to the Indians and everybody else who comes in there, as opposed to saying, hey, this is ours. You want to come and visit? We'll take you on all the safaris. We'll take you to Mount Kilimanjaro. You can, yeah, we'll do all those things. But this is ours. We control this. The money that we're asking you for you to do these things goes into our hands, goes into our banks, help to continue the development and grow of Tanzania and Kenya and so forth. That's where we need to be. You know. So, Brother Bomani, talk to us about the future of what's happening with Africa for the Africans. What do you have planned, and where are you going to go, and so forth?
Yes. So, on the way to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th. So that is our, you know, schedule to push our investment conference, repatriation investment conference, which is focused on this. Just educating people more about living, doing business and investing in countries like Ghana and, you know, or just, you know, wherever country in Africa that they choose, but trying to just encourage more of us, especially since we're in Ghana, to be in more of like black cooperative economics and, you know, create a stronger bond with the African diaspora. And, you know, and I do understand that we do in Ghana. I always tell people whatever we do in Ghana, is going to benefit and the country is going to grow and things like that. But we as a people have to start making, you know, our allegiance and our connection together more organized, because too many people coming back with little to nothing, people coming back from just going to certain things that could be avoided if it was more practicing group economics, or just, you know, a simple thing as just us looking out for each other and not holding a bunch of different grudges. Because the thing is, the simplest of the thing that we do to each other triggers us to where, you know, where other people can do a whole bunch, a million times things worse than that, but then we have a grudge over small things against each other.
Sure.
So trying to get more of us to this livery, just understand that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us to figure this thing out and, you know, work together and just do all the things that we need to do, because the competition is not going to get any simpler. You know, Japan, China, India, Korea, America, different European nations, they all have their eyes on Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the best that, you know, we can really push in. You know,
I think what the problem is that, you know, when they talk about 54 different sovereign countries, and I put question marks on sovereign, you know, because they're colonialist, neo-colonialist, they're still, particularly France, still pretty much dominates. The currency is still tied to Europeans. Some of the Europeans who were there are back. Some of the Indians who were there are back, you know. So I put real question marks on 54 sovereign nations. What we want is one Africa. What we want was what Nkrumah was talking about, what Patrice Lumumba was talking about, what Thomas Sankara was talking about. And these leaders who were speaking about that and how important that is were all eliminated. They were all murdered. That should say something to us that we need to don't have fear. That's what I just read. That's why I reread the Inye Sesim for today. It's the fear that we have that prevents us. And of course, the European instills it into our children. And if we do, if we don't take a stand, our children would, and then this will continue to be happening to us until eventually we are eliminated. And so that's why I'm saying what you're doing is vitally necessary to introduce our people and those who are like-minded into African countries, into Ghana, into Senegal and Gambia, into Rwanda, into Tanzania, into Azania, into Liberia. And so we can start these are some of the places that you have consistently gone. I know you're going to South Africa. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bomani.
I was going to tell you the schedule coming up.
Sure.
But beyond that investment conference there in Ghana, we have the community, Black Star Pan-African community, and that's the highlight. That's something that we have, you know, put our money together with others. I'm talking about other Pan-African people like ourselves, and you know, acquire the Atlanta's later foundation of our community. So that's the highlight. Beyond that, you know, it's our roots and culture, tourism and networking, mm-hmm. and some social place out. So outside those two things, that's kind of what we do on all of the different journeys. But definitely love to get there in the future in all of the different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Once we finish there in Ghana, we're going to be heading to Senegal and Gambia, and that's March 30th to April 10th. So that's just a few months later, and doing 4 days in Senegal, 5 days in the Gambia, or four and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another interesting venture of moving from one country to the next. And then once we finish that, we're back in Ghana in May, and that's when looking to just get more energy for that community. And then from there on, going to head to Rwanda. These are all standalone journeys. I'm usually back here working and back here getting things together.
Okay.
Rwanda is July 20th to the 30th in the summertime. And then from there, we're back in Tanzania. Back in Tanzania, I'll be looking at, we did three journeys there now, so I'll be looking at what we're gonna just have on a new itinerary. And just keep on just trying to create a formula to get our people connected and just want to see more of our people. Once we meet together, travel together, people form bonds and connect together and, you know, open themselves into business and inspiring other people to say, hey, you know, Africa is a growing opportunity. How about, you know, like if you work with a group of business people, you know, you share that experience and share it in a light to open their minds up. Because one of the things we're going to always have in Africa is this, and it's, I wouldn't say it's a culture shock, but it's, you know, it's sometimes hard to understand, my own expectations and what I'm looking for. But it's like, and one of the things is always going to be the infrastructure, whether it's, you know, the lights, the water, the internet, roads, bridges, building. But I feel like the whole continent is developing. That's what I'm impressed about. And traveling in the early 2000s, a whole different world. I mean, even countries like Ghana, it just did not look nowhere close to that. And even Tanzania, this time coming around, you just see a lot more development. So I'm telling everyone that's out there listening, I appreciate the people who have traveled to Africa with us as pioneers and seen different countries and a whole continent develop. But look at the possibilities of the future. But the possibility that come out in the future, is it going to be a possibility where everyone else invests all of their money and make this incredible African continent to where you have all aspects of life as far as just things very modern, very historical, cultural, and then it's controlled by other people. So that's my only fear of the situation. Too much of us is staying back. Say, you know what? I'm going to wait till this COVID stuff ends. I'm going to wait till this end. I'm going to do this. And, you know, then you have your own people there. They're depending on us to come and do business with them. You know, a lot of times, you know, we think that white folks are coming in, they spend a bunch of money at the craft markets and things like that. And sometimes it's not. You know, and our people depend on us to indulge in a culture and, you know, bring back, you know, whatever arts and things. So I try to do grassroots places that even have vendors come. Sometimes they just come to our hotels and trying to get us connected to where it becomes more of an important situation, even beyond this. And that's why I try to not just make it all just hardcore roots and culture, but try to make it, you know, social to where you can see other things. And, you know, even like going to Zanzibar Island, That's as close as a getaway we have had in any journeys, to where we just, you know, we're on the beach for 2 days. The schedule is very light. And we can just wake up every morning and just see this incredible beauty that we don't see in most parts of Africa, because, you know, most countries don't have Zanzibar Island. Mm-hmm. And
I think that is vitally important that we start to do this, because what you have done is lay a groundwork, you know, for a lot of those brothers and sisters who have previously gone on the tours that you've had, laid the ground where they see it for themselves, and hopefully they'll tell their friends and relatives the same thing, to go and see for yourself. And hopefully by that time, it begins to develop and grow into something that, instead of having 15, 20, 40 people, you have 100 people, you know, who want to go on this tour because they're wanting to repatriate. They're wanting to invest. They want you to see Africa grow into a situation where we, are doing something. We're helping each other. We're educating, just like when you just said how the infrastructure, which is so vitally important and necessary, because really the colonizers didn't do a damn thing. They just took. They just took. And then when some of them had. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry about that. You're saying the colonizers just came in and they took, they didn't really spend time building a proper foundation. We'll get into the same point with that.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Mamani, go ahead. Did you make your point?
No, I was saying for you to finish up your point. We're coming up on the same point that the colonizers didn't build superior infrastructure to develop the country. Their foundation was just to lay something and take.
Right.
Our roads lead to, the parts of the country that's developing is the parts of the country that, that they have the outlets. Now they're shipping ports, airports, other ports to take.
Right. But see, that's what we need to do. We need highways. We need railroads. We need ports. We need hospitals. We need schools. We need power plants, infrastructure. I've been going to Ghana since the 90s, the middle 90s. I've been to Ghana like 5 times, and still, to me, the road from Accra to Kumasi, or the road from Accra, going straight across, straight west to, Takrati, at times it's still pretty bad,
It's a joke, serious.
And that's
3 decades of you traveling there.
Yeah, and then I went up north to Tamale, and went from Tamale to Moli Park. The Chinese built that road. Because I remember when I went that road back in the late 90s, man, that was pretty tough to go from Tamale to Moli Park. That road was terrible. But then the Chinese came. Why couldn't we do that? And even at that, I don't know if you've been there to Tamale, or to Moli Park.
No. Unfortunately, no, I haven't been there either.
Because the Chinese... What the Chinese also did, they built a resort on top of the resort where you can see it in a road that leads,
It's amazing. And they do that in every country. They're smart business people. I got to give it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're very sharp, man. They have a vision.
They have a vision for themselves, and I understand that. I understand that. The problem I have, Brother Bomani, is that we haven't been able to collectively do what they're doing in Africa, in China, in India, in Europe.
Oh, no, that's not allowed.
It's not allowed. It's not allowed.
They're going to say that they have their own people to do all those things, so why do we need you? The reason why we're coming to Africa, because you guys need help for development. They're going to say those things, but it's amazing. We have a very special case, and we have to figure it out amongst ourselves.
Well, we've had some great minds, and they told us a number of things. The problem is that we never adhere to them because we consistently have been led by Europeans, neocolonialism. We're consistently led by Europeans and those outside of us. We've been consistently relying on China and Koreans and Indians, But we can't do a damn thing in their country. We wouldn't even dare open a shop, a store in their country, but yet they're all over, you know. But although I'm saying it like that, I still want us to understand what you're doing, because you are bringing us to some beautiful places, some beautiful countries, and you're allowing us to see, you know, how the country operates, and where we could fit in, you know, and where we could fit in and establish ourselves, not as Americans, but as Africans coming home to help build and encourage Africans. You know, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, and the momentum is getting there. As you can see, when you traveled in the 90s, you didn't see this much people into Africa, to where, yeah, people have, you know, YouTube channels up and they're pushing certain information out. Only bad thing about YouTube is there's so much negative stuff about Africa on there.
Yeah.
Especially the people. It's kind of like this. Some of the people who have bad experience that went to Ghana, this is not trying to pick on Ghana, but it's just one of the more popular countries that people go in there and have a bad experience, because that's one of the places people are going to live and just go live and get set up with no previous experience of understanding that everything is completely different. And things that, even though you may know that up front, which I think people in general know that up front, but when you deal with the reality of it, it's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you go to these bad experiences, the first thing you want to do is go vent on YouTube. And I'm always telling people, when we do great stuff, you know, where's a bunch of people going up there and saying all these nice things?
Right.
So people end up talking about the things that have gone bad in Ghana. I'm being honest with people. I'm thankful and lucky that, you know, our land situation worked out where it worked out, but it wasn't just by luck. It was because, you know, we spent a lot of money on attorneys, consultants, and people that we trust to do the hardcore groundwork, which, you know, because you're in a developing country and the games and the way things work in the law is completely different. You know, we thought these white supremacists who ran certain counties or certain cities in the South was terrible. You know, you're dealing with a situation completely different. It's beyond racism. Now you're dealing with something where you're the victim and everybody is working around to shake you down. And you don't speak the language, and everyone has already worked it out already. You're just the unlucky victim. Those are things that, you know, next thing, those things happen. Because you didn't hire a consultant, you didn't reach out to proper people, and you just, so you could just go anywhere in somewhere like Ghana and go get land because you fell in love with a chief son or somebody like that. Just kind of compile a bunch of things that just go wrong. And then now, all you're going to do is go on YouTube and make bad videos. Right. And I've seen tons of those videos, land issue videos and things that.
Yeah.
And,
there have been people who have been killed over issues of land, you know?
Yeah, and I got some serious stories of people who've been foul play, you know, next thing you get poisoned so someone can take your home. So when I'm telling people that the only way I'm making my move on African content is by building the community we need and having the best of my people working with me where we can get something done. Because at the end of the day, it's to get things done. And if you're going there and sacrificing your life so someone can just come up and have a little something, and then still there's no nation building going on, that all you did was just kill someone and take their home, or it took somebody a lifetime investment and then you just squander it, and there's no nation being built. So that's why we have the approach to build a community we're building, and the approach we have on just trying to get people a leverage experience in Africa and see who can really just be down with it. Because, you know, if, like, tourism is a simple way to make a move. But once you start staying long in a country and being around, you start realizing more and more things, and then the frustration builds up. Because I have people living in, you know, countries based on countries you recommend. And, you know, they appreciate a tourist experience and they appreciate just going around. But it's like they more so wish it could be in a tourist experience. So I'm telling people, if you want the Africa that you want, which is that same Africa I want, you're going to have to build it.
That's right.
You know, you get a piece of land.
That's right.
And I told my community, I was like, we're the ones that have to build these roads. We're the ones that have to pull up lights and pull up infrastructure. The government is not going to do that. All we did was purchase land from, you know, from the owners of the land that's in that town. And that's it. And that's hard to still get in our minds. I still have people asking me these questions. I was like, well, let's sit down and talk about how we can do these things, because that's what we talk about, how we're going to build something organic. And now if you want a well-established community in Africa, they got apartments, condos, houses, with similar infrastructure that you're used to, whether you're in Ghana or South Africa, and you're living in New York or Georgia.
Right.
Those things are available. Now, that's just like me just moving from one situation here to the next. No, I don't want to move to Africa like that. I want to build something to where we can teach our children. I want to pass something on to where we have something in our family. You know, I'm always telling that to my family in Jamaica and the ones that are here, that, you know, all of us, you know, can't just be workers and workers. We need to establish something. So that's the opportunity that we have, literally, to be able to just get land and build it from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And I want more for us to push those things, because then now we have a foundation in that country to where we can have better relations. And then now it's a better way for us to look out for our own people. Because, I mean, when the situation happened in Fianca and I was working with them for years,
mm-hmm, right,
I'm bringing groups of people and helping market and promoting it, just like I was doing with Garvey Town and other places. And I tell people, you give your life and soul to do this, and then this is the outcome. Our people get sacrificed.
Yeah.
For trying to make a live in Africa. But I realized also that, you know, we as a people have to take accountability for the situation. Number one, we have to, I'm not saying for us to get away from free land, but the free land stuff has caused too much drama.
Right.
And that's why I went to the chief, I got my attorneys, I got my best of my people that I trust with my life, and I got them to meet and work things out, because I'm here working all the time. And, you know, when I go back and forth, you know, you're meeting with them as best as you can. And I had them work those things out to where everything was worked out. People accuse us of doing certain things, which no one still cannot prove, because the only thing we keep on doing is when people accuse us, we prove to people that everything that we're doing is legal and organized, and we have our information in the system, and these are all of our legal documents via email or however you need it to look at it. And, you know, because we're serious about our business, because we literally went out there and if people ask for receipts, these are all the receipts that this man got paid for this job for us to get the land. But then you turn around and you make a deal with free land now, and that, you know, you may pay for your legal paperwork and stuff like that, but then the free land is always questionable, especially in areas where you have too many people who claim that they're the chief. I'm the chief, and all of them could be entitled to the situation, because, you know, when the father and the mother was having children, they probably had a whole lot of children.
Mm.
You know, and yeah. So those things get confusing. So I worked out something to where we didn't deal with a whole bunch of people who had a whole bunch of chiefs. We dealt with one chief that was running the town, and he's the paramount chief, the main chief. And we didn't deal with a whole bunch of other confusion in a big area to where those lines are crossed by so many other chiefs. And these are all people that know each other. So I'm always telling people, just because you hear about 5,000 acres of free land, 3,000 acres of free land, or 100 acres of free land, all this free land, you know, that's when you really just have to put your guard up. That's a way to draw you in, but it's the amount of this crazy stuff that can go on is just unbelievable. So I'm just telling people not just to be careful, but to do your due diligence and get the proper representation, and don't just go hire just a random lawyer in a country where the people can know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and then work out the scheme.
Yeah. Well, listen, I have a caller here. They want to talk to you, Brother Momani.
Sure.
347-347. Good afternoon. 347? 347. Good afternoon. Okay. Well, if you want to talk, you know, to hit star twice. Yeah, that's really important, because you see what happened with Fianca. You see what happened with Garvey Town, you know. And it's sad. It's really sad, you know, because there's those of us who truly want to repatriate, who truly want to go to a place on the continent that is getting itself together, that is developing the infrastructure, that is developing the roads and highways and railways and so forth, and schools and hospitals, to a place where there's lights that work 24/7, you know, where you can put up satellites to get communications and TV, all that kind of stuff. We want to go to some place like that, you know, and we just don't want it in one place. We want it all over. You know, we want Africa to connect. We want Africans in the southern part of Africa to be connecting with the central part of Africa, the east part of Africa, the west part of Africa. And damn it, we still, the north of Africa is Africa, and it's still ours. But yet, of course, you know, it's controlled by Egypt, Libya, you know, Algeria, Mauritania, Morocco, you know. And of course, they don't want to claim to be African because, they're not. In the sense of the word, but yeah, they want to claim Africa land, you know. So, yeah. So we have a lot of work to do, Brother Bomani.
Absolutely, yeah. And it just don't stop. So just on and on, and you just keep on moving on.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to just let anyone that's listening that's looking to travel with us, whether it's Tanzania on our next tour. We still have this next, some people didn't make the Tanzania journey, so we have it for November next year. That's November 16th to the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And all these schedules are on our website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. I have South Africa for December next year also, and then Liberia for March 2024. So several different countries. And the best thing I usually recommend is just for individuals to look at the information on the website, especially the itinerary. Some itineraries are a little simpler than other itineraries. Some itineraries are just more moving, and some itineraries just a lot of flying and things like that. So,
well, you know,
and some itineraries, you know, straight up with roots and culture and business and investment, and some this is like an introduction.
Well, you know what's important, and I've stated many times about the website AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need, even if you don't go on one of the tours of a lifetime, but if you want to, if you're going to Africa, you're going to need to look at that website. What you may need in terms of shots, what you may need in terms of paperwork, visas, and so forth. Everything is on the website. You can download all the paperwork that you may need. I mean, Brother Bomani has got it together for you if you want to go to the motherland. If you want to go to the motherland, and you can give him a call. You know, he definitely will respond. I know that he does for me, and that number is 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. You also can contact him on his email, afta2010@msn.com. I repeat, afta2010@msn.com. 443, good afternoon.
Brother Oshie, Brother Irvin here. How are you?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you?
I'm good. Brother, you got Brother Bomani on, and I am traveling with him in April to Gambia and Senegal, and I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Right on.
Greetings, Brother Greetings. How you been? You're on my list for call. Yeah,
brother,
looking forward to meeting with you and everything, and glad you're motivated. Ready for a journey of a lifetime. So hopefully you're in good shape and everything, because we're gonna be moving.
Oh yeah, he's in good shape. He's retired, but he's in good shape.
I am so ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I want you to think. Can you hear me? Can I be heard?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want you to. Think about this for a second. The only people that can be scammed or taken advantage of in anywhere, Africa or anywhere else, are people who are looking to get something for nothing. You said the free land. And anytime I hear something that's free, I already know that there's no such thing as free. There's going to be a price to pay, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's emotions, maybe even your life. Mm-hmm. So I never look for anything for free. I never try to beat anybody out of anything. So then a scam like that won't work on me, because the first thing I'm going to say is, well, how is it free, brother? There's nothing free. But when you're trying to go take these European values of I got to get more than everybody else, and I brag because I got this for nothing. You know, how much you pay for your car? And then, I got the same car, and I paid so much less than you did, and I'm bragging about that. It makes you feel like, well, dang, I must be stupid. But this is how Europeans want your mindset to be, to beat your fellow man and not mm-hmm. and not work with him. It's competition,
right.
And not cooperation. So I don't have that mindset. So that won't work with me. I'm not looking to get something for nothing. I paid you whatever you said it was for the trip. and we paid in full the next day because we want to go and we want to have a good time. And I'm really looking forward to it, man. I really am. I can't wait. I think we all should make a pilgrimage back to our homeland so that we see where we come from and realize how far we've come, but how far we have to go.
I say.
Yeah, brother.
Amen. Actually, amen. Just means you agree.
Mm-hmm. Brother, it's actually a perfect introduction. It's because you're able to measure things from there on. You know, even just going on a introduction journey, which is what we call a roots and culture journey, which is still based on tourism. But because once you're there in the country, your world is completely different. You know what I mean? Because, you have a bus, coming to pick you up. You have, you have a staff of people that's going to run around and do everything for you and make it happen. And meals are ready and, it could be ordered and things like that. But when you're there, you got to figure out a lot of movements on the ground. So it actually just opened you up. But if you can, if you feel like you can hack it after that, I tell people just venture off some more. Maybe you do more of a fact-finding mission and things like that. But these are strictly for introduction purpose, and the schedule is, is nice and consistent because at least you know what you're going to be doing and you know what your movements are, and things like that. So, and then hopefully from there, we get more people that just build a confidence to just work with, us or other groups, and then we just start just building on the corporate economics because we have to build these enterprises across the continent. So tourism is just for a short period of time, 9-10 days. Okay, we're connected, we're rejuvenated. Now let's make some power moves.
That sounds fantastic. I really can't wait to go. I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to this. Everything sounds great for me. I'm not going there to dance. I can dance in my living room. I'm not going to. To have the party. I'm going to be educated and to actually try to connect with the spirit of my ancestors and just feel the dirt under my feet and just know that I'm in the land of where my ancestors came from. And that's very important to me. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm ready for the feeling I'm going to get. And I know it's coming. I just can't wait, man. It's exciting. It's very exciting even to talk to you, and you've gone many a times. And, I'm just looking forward to it, man. So I'm here. I'm ready.
I always say to everyone is, whenever you're doing these journeys, just make the best of it and enjoy all of it because it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot you're experiencing just back to back to back. Just open your mind and just take it all in. And that's why sometimes I have to go back and watch certain things on video because it's moving at a pace to where you're like, wow, you're in Africa. And next thing you know, you're not in Africa no more, and it's like, oh man,
it was a great experience. Brother Mamani, Brother Irv is a photographer, so man, he'll be taking a lot of good pictures.
Should post up on
the website.
The memories last.
Yeah, Sister Mama Nabantu, you got any closing remarks?
I just want to make an announcement that the African Fellows Movement annual conference is starting tomorrow,
right?
To the 13th, and that you will be the first on the program in terms of
libation. Yes, yes, right. Ma'am, I'm on it.
And so, yeah, from 1 to 3 is the program for tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
And I'll be sending you the schedule for the rest of the day.
Okay,
it's open to the public tomorrow from 1 to 3. Every day is not open to the public. Some days are open for the members of the PAFM, but tomorrow is open to the public and from 1 to 3. And so I will put it.
So you have an excellent chance, family, to learn more about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Once again, we're trying to realize the dream of those great Africans, Sheikh Anta Diop, Marcus Garvey, all of them who understood we need to be one Africa in control of our resources. We need to be independent. We need to be self-determining. We need to be liberated. We need to be sovereign. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line. And as Brother Bomani was explaining in his travels, particularly, there's a lot of other people from other places who are on the continent of Africa. And there's none of us who are able to do what these people are doing on our land. I ain't saying that we need to kick them out, but what I am saying, we must compete for our people on our land. Brother Bomani, you got any last closing remarks, my brother?
Yes. I appreciate our brothers and sisters that traveled me on the last journey to Tanzania. I appreciate your energy, Mama Nobantu, and the multitude of people from the different energies that came together to enjoy this wonderful experience. And I always tell people, I know it's not easy for us just to connect together like that and enjoy an experience, but it's always appreciated that we come away with the love and energy intact and inspire other people to move forward. And just thank for all the folks that's looking to travel with me in the future tours, especially in the Ghana tour for next month. That let's do this. Let's keep on showing up on the African continent. Our presence is very important. And I appreciate the people there in the different countries that keep on saying, hey, you know, I see a lot of white people and other people come. I appreciate more and more of us coming. And, you know, and they're down with the whole Pan-African energy. They're just trying to see more of a spark, but they realize that, you know, that where they are, it's what it is. It's like, you know, I got to do business with whoever to make the move we need to make. You know what I mean? So they appreciate us being so much into us.
Right on.
And really just into us, you know, because I tell people when we're moving, I'm bringing us together to where we can just figure some things out and enjoy an experience. So looking for more people just to open their minds up. And then anybody want to connect with us on anything, especially business ventures or just any kind of help or any kind of just support, it's all good. It's this is something bigger than, you know, we can imagine.
Right.
And I do feel like it's going to change the scope of things, because by the end game is more and more of us going to be there building this beautiful global pipeline of black educated, talented people, black entrepreneurs, black enterprises. And then for those of us here in America that are, you know, I'm always telling them, just you know, give us your support, even if it's your moral support. You know,
right.
What those of us doing and all the money that we're spending on certain trips or taking a chance going to Africa, you know, let's show us some love, because it's not easy. And you know, if some of us don't do this, then it kills that future connection. But you know, so you know, because a lot of times you have people that are sitting back watching and they're just watching us and hoping that things go wrong. I tell them, don't have that hateful mind.
That's right.
We figure this thing out in Africa.
That's right.
All of our children are going to be able to have an incredible life, because they're going to have economic opportunities all over the world. You know what I mean? Right now, if you're trying to get some economic opportunity, you got to go run to Dubai and play their little games and go over there and deal with their cult of how they run things in the country. You know, I want to be able to just be in Africa where I can just work, live, and do business. That's what we want for our generation. So even just tourism and us just doing fact finding roots and culture missions or any of these things, all these things are changing the scope of things. So it's reaching out to us as a people, like this is our time. Either we figure this thing out, or like I mentioned, Indians are going to move from Indians and the rest of the people that's in different parts of Africa. They're not just going to stay there and just be there. Their goal is to expand and expand.
Exactly.
And expand.
Exactly.
And their goal is to see their mother continent or countries, India, China, Japan. That's an incredible relationship for them. So I'm sure they love some of us, and I'm sure they love doing business with some of us, but they have their main agenda. And that agenda, only thing that we may end up getting out of it is some slave labor, and that's it.
So, okay. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, I have to go.
Also, let everyone know, family, I'm available if anyone ever want to reach out to me.
Right on. Well, if you listen to this program, you know Brother Bomani Atahinda, because I talk about Africa for the Africans every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the opening, giving you the information of where he's going and how you can access it. So, brothers and sisters, we appreciate it. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. This Friday, my co-host will be Brother Irv Lewis, who you just heard from Be More, and we're going to have a big time, ain't we, Irv?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, brother and sister. Shem Hotep.
Yes, sir.
Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. See you on Friday. Ashe. Yes.